The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
All right, let's pray. Father, please help us as we talk about a hard topic. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, and we pray that you give us faith to believe in your word, to believe in your commands, to believe in the glorious promises that make your commands possible. Please set the captives free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, today we tackle part two of the internet and entertainment, but today we're focusing in a specific way. We're focusing on the internet and corrupting entertainment. The internet and corrupting entertainment. Why call it corrupting entertainment? Why talk about this in matters of corruption? Well, time-wise, what we're about to do is we're about to talk about pornography in this world. But a big mistake we can make is to think that there's just a certain category of sin. It's only called pornography, and only people who are using this explicit category of sin have anything to think about, to learn about, to repent of, those kinds of ideas. But when you do it that way, you exclude people, and you exclude experiences of sin that at their heart are very much the same. And so we consider it in terms of the internet and corruption, not simply pornography, pornography being a part of that corruption, but not the only sin out there to confront. What we need to ask when we're considering our entertainment is my entertainment corrupting me? Is my entertainment corrupting me? In that case, you're asking a question, not does this type of entertainment fit some definition? You're asking instead, what does this entertainment do to me? And here we are as Christians, we ask ourselves, what does it do to my Christian walk? What does it do to the way I walk before the Lord? We know God is the God not merely of the externals, not merely of the superficial. He is the God of the heart. And so we ask ourselves, when it comes to our entertainment, what is this doing to my heart? And so we acknowledge from the get-go that there are forms of corrupting entertainment that fly underneath the radar. They are not always acknowledged to be corrupting, which right there, you've lost the battle. If you won't even acknowledge it to be corrupting, you're not even going to notice that it's corrupting you. You're not even going to know it's something to resist. It's mentioned at the start that corrupting entertainment doesn't have to be visual. What are you reading? What kinds of thoughts are you bringing into your mind and into your heart and into your life? So if you want to go around reading about other people's intimate affairs, namely gossip, you're engaging in corrupting entertainment. I mean, even if that corrupting entertainment is put out by the very person, so it's not like you're saying something they wouldn't want said. Maybe they're putting out the corrupting material. You are still being corrupted by it. If you are reading trashy romance novels, you are being corrupted. You are taking part in corrupting entertainment. If you're reading hate-filled, rage-inducing material, you are engaging in corrupting entertainment. And so we see this category starts getting very broad. And it doesn't have to just be visual. Corrupting entertainment, it doesn't have to be taboo. So you may say, well, no one would look twice if they saw that I was reading this or looking at this or watching this. Well, just because it's not taboo, just because someone wouldn't give you a dirty look if they saw you in public using that kind of entertainment, doesn't mean it's not corrupting. No one should assume that the Disney Channel and Hallmark movies are leading you down the path of righteousness. Right? When I say it that way, we're like, well, sure. But that's totally the kind of entertainment that we might just say, well, this is safe. Is it? You have no reason to assume that something not the Bible is leading you in the path you should go. Video games. Video games are full of corruption. Not every video game. I'm not saying video games inherently are corruption. But they slip in their corrupting visuals, and they're doing it with greater and greater detail, precision, greater graphic ability. They're doing it with their storylines. They're doing it with the language used in the games. They're doing it with the violence. Popular shows. Popular meaning millions of people will watch these shows with you. Meaning you go into work and you can say, did you see the last episode of blank? And everyone thinks that's a great conversation. But popular shows, by definition, now believe that in order to be popular, they need to actually have titillating material. I mean, try and find a show, a popular show, that does not try to enact that formula. There's almost always, at least some part, regularly, where the Christian cringes. Because you can feel that what they're putting out there is just titillation. They're doing it with general immodesty, right? The way that someone dresses, the way that someone acts, which, by the way, downstream from that, we start imitating. We say, well, this is how they dress on TV. I'm going to dress like that. This is how they talk on TV. I'm going to talk like that. Downstream of all this immodesty is our imitation. But beyond just immodesty, I mean, they're going to slip in that titillation, that corruption, everything from innuendo on one side to graphic portrayal on the other. But this is what popular entertainment believes needs to be there in order to be popular. And the truth is, I'm not sure they're wrong. If you're making entertainment for the world, this seems to be what the world wants. But we, as those who are not of this world, we've got a different set of criteria to go for here. What I want you to see is, though we're about to start talking about very specifically pornography, is that so much of what we talk about just applies to entertainment in general, or at least a wide swath of it. What the world wants to give you, especially through video, but not just that, is often corrupting. And so the Christian is not asking the question, is this a taboo category? Or does this fit some definition, some worldly definition of being entertainment I shouldn't participate in? The Christian, with much more discernment, with much more wisdom, is going to say, does any kind of entertainment corrupt me? How does it affect my heart? How does it affect my walk with the Lord? But that all said, we've got to consider the prevalence of pornography. Uncomfortable, but we have to do it. According to a survey that you're going to see there on your piece of paper, and I want you to look at it with me because reading the numbers doesn't do it justice. So this is from the Barna Group in 2014 and 16. This chart I gave you is people who are viewing pornography at least once per month. And let's go backwards on it, okay? Oldest age group first, 50 to 68 of what they surveyed on there. Men, you were talking 49%, one out of every two. Women at this age group are much, much lower, 4%. 4%. But I want you to watch the trajectory. 31 to 49, men jump up to 67%. Not one out of two, two out of three. Now, women, you may look at that, it says 16%, and you say, well, that's still very low. It is low in a sense, but it quadrupled from the age group before it. It went from 4% to 16%. It went to from 4 out of 100 to about 1 out of 6. Then you go to 18 to 30. 79% of men once a month. 76% of women once a month. Do you see how the gender gap has basically disappeared at that point? A 3% difference. Now we are saying the vast majority are viewing pornography once a month. Now, pornography in its excess is really seen in men, but one thing we need to banish here is that this is only a male problem, because the numbers just don't bear that out. And that's something where we leave ourselves a giant blind spot if we think, oh, we just need to deal with the men. Because when we do that, we exclude a whole population that also needs help, and we have a way of stigmatizing it, right? The use of pornography has this shame element to it, and it makes people not want to ever let anyone know that this is going on. Well, what if we then double that and say, and by the way, women never suffer from this? Then women are doubly stigmatized, and they're going to be twice as unlikely to actually receive the Christian help that they need, because they'll think, no, I'm a freak. This isn't right. I shouldn't have this problem. I can't tell anyone. What we need to see is this is prevalent, and it's affecting women too. The 13 to 17 age group, the reason I merged the boxes was just because I didn't have information on male versus female. But that number is plenty prevalent on its own. 57% of the 13 to 17 age group, male and female, saying that at least once a month they are viewing pornography. We have to deal with this problem, this sin, recognizing what it really is. If I think the fire is miles away, I'm not going to do much. If I think the fire is all throughout my neighborhood, I'm going to respond very differently. The fire is in the neighborhood. It is in not just the world, it is in the church. One thing we have to dispel this morning is that it does not affect us. No, in a room this size, so what do we have? Say 70 people. We are talking about 30 or 40. Right now, who are struggling with this sin. That's something to be said for those who are not struggling to recognize that people are struggling, even if it's not in ways you understand. And it's something for those who are struggling to say, you're not alone. Don't be fooled into thinking that you are some freak case. You are not alone in this struggle. And so we see that the prevalence of pornography is undeniable. It's undeniable on the anecdotal level. It's undeniable at the statistical level. And a devastating development from pornography is amateur participation. Amateur participation. Unfortunately, we are usually now familiar with the term sexting. It's the distribution of sexual images, usually of oneself, via text message. How sad it is that that should be a normal word in our culture, in our vocabulary. Around 15% of teens are sending sexting messages. That's back to that 1 in 6 number, roughly. But about 27% of teens are receiving these messages. So 15% sending, 27% receiving. So you may have a sense that your teen may not be sending, but they are twice as likely to be receiving them. See, that comes back to some of what we talked about, what technology enables, digital privacy, right? We enable a direct line of communication with people when we give them a phone. And you can't lock that down once you do that. Even the best filtering, you can't lock down the text messages unless you just get rid of them. Right? We recognize that our teens are exposed in ways that are really, really uncomfortable. Of those who sent a sext, 20% in one survey said it had been shared with others. So the illusion of this digital privacy is you share it with just that one person, often a boyfriend, a girlfriend. And of course, we believe they will keep it secret. Well, it turns out 1 in 5 don't. This is part of the fear factor that we should really just keep alive. if this temptation is even out there at all? How are you going to feel when that's online? How are you going to feel when millions of people have seen that? Probably you wouldn't do it if you thought that those were the stakes. But this development of amateur participation, there's been a categorical shift that we need to acknowledge. We are no longer simply consumers of pornography. We are creators. We are producers. We are not merely the ones looking to receive it. We are producing it and sending it out. Do you see what a tragic development that is? Once you had smartphones everywhere, once you had cameras everywhere, once you had high-speed data everywhere, cloud storage everywhere, it got very, very easy to do this. And so people, not simply teenagers, began to create pornography. People began to be not simply the receivers of this, but the perpetrators of it. They became the ones doing the degrading, doing the manipulating. They became the ones, this really ends up focusing, destroying girls. They couldn't point the finger and said, no, so-and-so is doing the destroying. When you're the one who's created the pornography, no, you are the one destroying them. The creators then became the objectifiers. The creators then became the corruptors. This corrupting entertainment, specifically pornography, it is truly everywhere. And it's everywhere, like if you found out that you had mold running all through your walls. It is everywhere in the house. And the fruit of pornography is just a tragic survey. This week was a difficult week. I thank you for praying for me. I know you guys. I'm sure you did. It's just depressing to do this study. The first fruit of pornography, the erosion of morals. The erosion of morals. I'm going to read another bit of statistics for you. And this one is of people who believe that pornography is bad for society. The ideal answer to this is 100%. 100% of people should believe that pornography is bad for society. Here are the numbers instead. Only 43% of teenagers believe that pornography is bad for society. Only 31% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe that pornography is bad for society. Only 51% of millennials believe that pornography is bad for society. Only 44% of Gen Xers believe that it is bad for society. And only 59% of boomers believe that it's bad for society. So you flip those stats, and what that is 57% of teens think it's okay. 69% of 18 to 24 think it's okay. 49% of millennials think it's okay. 56% of Gen Xers think it's okay. 41% of boomers think it's okay. That is an erosion of morality that we cannot even call wrong, wrong. In fact, we approve of evil. In this erosion of morals, we have to recognize the role that pornography plays in viewing women as commodities. There is this underlying message that it is appropriate to treat a woman as a sexual commodity, meant to be used, meant to be possessed, and meant to be prioritized over her humanity. It leads directly to sex trafficking. A pimp should not be able to sell a woman. Why? Because no one should think it's appropriate to buy a woman. There should be no market for this. The deviant who goes out trying to sell a woman should find no one wants it. But unfortunately, a lot of people do want to buy a woman. Where do they ever get the idea that it's okay to buy a woman? To treat her as not a human being, but as a sexual commodity. It does not start with buying someone, with a prostitute or something like that. It starts on a smartphone looking at pornography. There's the erosion of morality that's come from our pornography. There is physiological damage. Now, we're going to talk spiritual. Believe me, we will. But one thing we can neglect is recognizing that pornography has a physical effect that is bad, a physiological effect on the brain. Here's some quotes for you. Modern science allows us to understand that the underlying nature of an addiction to pornography is chemically nearly identical to a heroin addiction. It's from a psychiatrist, Jeffrey Satinover. From an author, Judith Reisman. Pornography triggers a myriad of natural drugs that mimic the high from a street drug. According to neuroscientist Dr. William Struthers, continued use of pornography literally erodes the part of the brain responsible for our willpower. So what that means is as you indulge in these cravings, you make yourself less able to resist those cravings in the future. Moreover, what people experience who expose themselves to pornography regularly is there is a callousness, a desensitization that begins to happen where they begin to seek more and more and more and more extreme versions of pornography in order to release those drugs once again. The folks at Covenant Eyes, I'll tell you about them later. You may know who they are. They're an accountability software. They had a lot of information that I was using. They said, in summary, what this means is pornography is actually damaging the brains of its consumers, destroying willpower, and creating a deeply ingrained compulsion. Viewers are selling themselves into a voluntary slavery to their impulses. The fruit of pornography, imitation. Imitation. You have women objectifying themselves because that's what they see women do. They see the attention that those women get. They see the way they do it. They begin to think perhaps that's acceptable, perhaps that's normal. And so women buy into it. They objectify themselves. They make themselves on a popular level less than human. They strip away their humanity. They don't think of themselves or live as image bearers. They sell themselves into slavery. They hold themselves out as commodities, sexual commodities, commodities meant to be used, commodities meant to be possessed. On the male side, you find men imitating what they see in pornography. And so you have this hyper-sexualized view of masculinity. You have a constant demeaning of women. Pornography does not teach anyone to treat women well. And if that's your role model, if that's what you're looking up to, you will treat women likewise. And so men begin to enact what they see, the aggression, the verbal abuse, the outright violence. Dr. James Weaver said, in men, prolonged exposure to pornography creates and enhances sexual callousness toward women. Prolonged exposure to pornography results in both a loss of respect for female sexual autonomy and the disinhibition of men in the expression of aggression against women. In other words, they become more likely to show aggression toward women. And friends, this is not theoretical. This is real life men hurting real life women. The fruit of pornography, it destroys families. According to sociologist Jill Manning, pornography consumption is associated with a number of negative things, but I just list three for you. Pornography consumption is associated with increased marital distress, increased risk of separation, increased divorce. It is associated with increased infidelity. It is associated with increased appetite for abusive, illegal, or unsafe practices. The fruit of pornography, the mass exploitation of women. The mass exploitation of women. From psychotherapist Marianne Layden, she said, and she's referring to counseling people who have worked in the industry. Once the pornography actresses are in the industry, they have high rates of substance abuse, typically alcohol and cocaine, high rates of depression, and borderline personality disorder. She says, the experience I find most common among the performers is that they have to be drunk, high, or dissociated in order to go to work. Their work environment is particularly toxic. And the terrible work life of the pornography performer is often followed by an equally terrible home life. They have an increased risk of sexually transmitted disease, increased risk of domestic violence, and they have about a 25% chance of making a marriage that lasts as long as 3 years. A former performer said, people do drugs because they cannot deal with the way they are being treated. Prostitution is also common, where producers of pornography are trafficking the women. What we need to be absolutely convinced of is that there is no good or happy version of working in this industry. There's no healthy version of working in this industry. This industry preys on women. It destroys women. It destroys their bodies. It destroys their minds. It destroys their souls. It destroys their lives. The fruit of pornography, likewise, destroying the souls of the consumers too. There's no one escaping the destruction here. Those who become enslaved to it are turning away from the Lord. They are walking away from the Lord. They are committing idolatry, worshiping the flesh instead of honoring the Lord. Every act of pornography is an act of rebellion, an act of unholiness, and frankly, an act of hatred for one's neighbor. Pornography is destroying the souls of those performing, and it's destroying the souls of those consuming. So how can Christians address corrupting entertainment? How are we meant to address corrupting entertainment? Well, first, we've got to let the word expose the sin. Matthew 5, 28 through 30. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. We must, as Christians, fight the moral erosion. There should be no part of us who is saying, I'm not so sure it is a bad thing. There should not be a single Christian who thinks that pornography is anything else than a cancer on our souls and on our society. It is absolutely sin. And especially, this is something that each younger generation needs to hear more strongly, because you are hearing 100 voices in developmental stages telling you what you're up to is not a big deal. No, the Lord says absolutely it's a big deal. And you say, oh, well, I'm just looking. It doesn't matter. The Lord says what you look at matters. See, I'm not doing anything, but the Lord says, but what's going on in your heart matters. The Lord would, with all his being, say that this is an unholy evil and it will destroy you. And so we look at our entertainment, we have to look at it through the lens of what Jesus said in Matthew just there. If your computer is a problem, seriously, I know what an inconvenience this would be. You don't need a computer, though. You do need your soul. You do need the Lord. If you say, but I need a smartphone, do you? The Lord, when he's talking about plucking eyes and cutting off hands, he's not talking about physical mutilation. He is talking about an absolute willingness to do whatever it takes to honor the Lord and turn away from sin. In honoring the Lord, we find blessing. And what Jesus is trying to make clear is that every provision you make for the flesh is something that can drag you into hell. And so we deal seriously with that. If you are going to believe Jesus, then there is nothing you can't give up. And that willingness needs to be there. There is no technological need greater than your soul. And for that matter, there are plenty of ways to insulate yourself from the dangers of technology. Go use a computer at a friend's house. Don't have internet at home. Don't have a data plan. Whatever it is, right? There are options here. Let's not be boxed into this, no, 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 but I need the very thing that is luring me to hell. And so let's recognize the sin. Let the church be known for 100% agreement that pornography is evil. What can we do? We'll grow in love for the Lord. I just take you back to the famous Shema of Israel, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. One thing that we have done is we have become enmeshed with the sinful pleasures of this world. We have come to love them. We have lost our first love and we've gone after false loves. And what the Lord wants for you is not merely some cold, mechanical, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore approach. He wants you to return to your first love. He wants your love for him to be a raging fire. He wants your passion for him to be deep. He wants you to look at the paltry pleasures of this world next to the overwhelming joy of the Lord and say, why would I choose the world? I have so much more in the Lord. So you can do this in a way that's so external that it won't honor the Lord, nor will it help. But what the Lord wants to do is to give you an overwhelming fullness at the heart level, at the love level, so that that greater love kicks out those lesser loves from your heart. Grow in love for the Lord. How do we love the Lord? Well, remember how you've been loved. The one who has been forgiven much loves much. Recall how great a forgiveness you have. Take the time every single day to say, I am a forgiven, blood-bought sinner. All my wickedness the Lord washed away. He bore the wrath on the cross so that I wouldn't have to. What glorious love is this, that he laid down his life for me while I was yet an enemy? You grow in those basic gospel truths to say, my goodness, how I have been loved. Soak that up. Soak that love up. Let it overflow your heart. May your heart every day be filled with joy at what the Lord has done for you. Grow in your love for the Lord by remembering what he has done for you. And grow in love for the Lord by obeying him. The Lord Jesus said that we show our love for him by keeping his commandments. Right? Make your life a practice of loving the Lord in all ways. Make your life filled with the obedience that you owe the Lord. Sometimes we want to look at love like it's just this flowery, sentimental thing, and that's what we want to show the Lord. Well, the Lord wants your heart and your sentiment, but he wants your obedience. And he says, if you want to love me, this is the language you should speak: obedience. You want your life filled with obedience to the Lord. It should be normal for you to obey the Lord, common for you to obey the Lord. And so we love the Lord by obeying him when he calls us to the word. He says, you need the word. You need to hear from me. You need the word of truth. Child of God, obey the Lord and love him and go to the word. Child of God, he calls you to pray. He says, child, I want to spend time with you. I want to be with just you. I want to hear what's on your heart. I want to bear the burdens you cast on me. I want to bless you. Will you come and pray? Child of God, won't you obey your Lord and go and pray? He calls you to be a part of a church family. He calls you to be a part of a body. In our families, in our physical bodies, there's no part that can just disappear and no one notices. You are meant to be here. You are meant to be with brothers and sisters. You are meant to join your voices together and worship the Lord. You are meant to together sit under the word of God. You are meant to together participate in the Lord's Supper. You are meant together to rejoice in baptisms. You are meant to do these things together. Won't you obey the Lord and be a part of the family he bought you into? What a lot of this is saying is simply, do you have a walk with the Lord, and is it healthy? Is it vibrant? Because if you don't, how do you expect to fight such a foe? How do you expect to fight such a temptation? Sometimes we go out to battle weak, with half our armor on, with no food for our soul. Is it any surprise that a roaring lion is more than a match for a half-equipped, malnourished spiritual army? Every day you face this battle, the battle of the world pulling on you, telling you to leave the Lord, to bow down to another God, especially with pornography, especially with immodesty, especially with corrupting entertainment. It is everywhere. How will you fight this fight if your walk is not strong with the Lord? Child of God, fan the flame of your love for the Lord. May it grow to be a consuming bonfire. If you've got a smoldering little wick, you don't have what the Lord wants you to have. We fight pornography with love for the Lord. How do we fight pornography? We strive for holiness. Holiness, just, I don't know, we've really strayed sometimes. We think of holiness as just not being cool enough or something. Like if you polled people, what Christian characteristic do you want to grow in? Well, they would say love, maybe joy, maybe peace. I mean, don't you picture holiness just falls way too far down the list? Especially when the Lord would say, Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Whether it's cool or not, let's be a people that's about holiness. Let's be a people who is living out holiness. Child of God, you're called a saint. In Christ, you are a holy one of the Lord. You should not blend in with the unholiness of the world. You are meant to be holy. Matthew 5, verse 8, for the other side of it, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's make holiness, let's make purity a passion in our Christian walks. The Lord has made it clear it's important. Will our walk likewise testify that we too believe it's important? Let us be a people about holiness, striving, striving, what a good word, striving for holiness. How can we fight pornography? Commit to accountability. Commit to accountability. Several verses for you, just one after the other. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Pornography preys on the isolated. So many times, if you were just with a brother, with a sister, or had a sense of their presence, a sense of their help, you would find yourself magnificently strengthened, wouldn't you? Things that we face in the dark are not things that we face in the light. What our brothers and sisters can do is keep the light shining, even when you are alone. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confess your sins to one another, right? Not like confess your sins to the Catholic priest, but to one another. And that's getting pretty personal. And that gets sort of uncomfortable. Oh, but there's freedom in it. And if you see the words, does he say, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be made awkward, that you may be made uncomfortable, that you may suffer? He says that you may be healed. The Lord wants to bring healing to your life and to your walk and to your soul. And we have short-circuited this by our isolation one from another. Women, you're often so much better at this than men. But I imagine I'm talking to men and women alike. Do you have someone in your life who offers you genuine Christian fellowship? Not merely the normal subjects of recreation and family and work, but the state of your soul. Do you have someone in your life? Do you have someone godly, particularly, in your life that you can go to, that you can be open with, that you can be transparent with, that you know that if you go to them, you're not going to get punched in the nose, you're not going to be made to feel terrible, you're going to find a brother or a sister invested in your well-being. See, if you don't have that, that's one of those things that today you should really commit to. Who is godly in your life that you could depend on like this? And often, in the case of pornography, it's better to not have a spouse have to serve this role, as godly as your spouse may be. Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? Do you have a friend? Do you have someone you trust? And if you're just drawing a blank, you've got pastors for a reason. And if this is just an impossible conversation to consider having, I get that. You know what you could do? When you get home tonight, get on a computer, pull up an email, put my address in, put Brian's address in, put Charlie's address in, put Vic's address in, put Steve's address in. Say, I really need some accountability. Would you help me get that set up? Absolutely, we will. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need each other. Both directions need each other. You need to serve, and you need to be served. That is what the body is meant to do. And so you may say, I don't have time to help someone out. well, there's ways that I can take that in a good spirit. But there's a way where you might be saying, I don't have time to obey the Lord. And your brother or your sister may need you. And they may need what light you can shine. And they may look at you as the only person that they would talk with. You have a precious role to play, to bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters, fulfilling the law of Christ. We need each other. We need Christian fellowship. That's all I'm talking about when I say accountability, Christian fellowship. Truly being involved in each other's lives and hearts and walks, serving each other, bearing each other up when we are weak, holding up that shield of faith to defend against the fiery arrows of the evil one. And don't we, when we see someone fall away from the faith, in discipline or otherwise, don't so many of us have this heart that says, oh, I wish I could have done something. I wish I could have stepped in. If I had known where this was going, I would have absolutely stepped in to prevent all this damage, all this heartache that we are seeing now. Well, you see, the only way you know if that's happening is if you know the person. And the truth is, by the time you find out from a distance, they are well down that hill with plenty of momentum leading to their destruction. Do you want to be useful, to love your neighbor, to be there for them? You don't want to be there at the bottom of the hill trying to catch a boulder rolling at you. You want to be the brother or the sister at the very top that says, whoa, whoa, you're slipping, and reaches out to help them off the side of that cliff. Your brothers and your sisters need you. How do we address pornography? Seek social justice. Yeah, and absolutely, I'm going to use that phrase. Seek social justice. Why do so many of us hate the evil that is abortion? It is because it is perversely unjust. We are murdering the innocent. So I take a verse that you've undoubtedly thought of for abortion, and I apply it today. Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Saints, may we be a just people, a people overflowing with justice. We are watching consumers and producers being led away to their death. Will we not rescue them? We are watching our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our family members led off to the slaughter. Will we not rescue them? Isaiah 1, verses 16 and 17, the Lord says, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Do you know one of the biggest condemnations of the prophets? One of the biggest condemnations is not defending the rights of the needy. So yes, we are to be a people of social justice, not instead of the gospel, but as a fruit of the gospel. We are to be those who seek to defend the rights of the needy. It is a matter of justice that we do not support what enslaves people, the users and the performers. May we never be shown to say we supported their slavery. And more than that, we should be a people not only who does not support that, but opposes it wholeheartedly. Not with this wobbly worldly ethic of, oh, 51% of us oppose. No, 100% oppose, and we are 100% opposed. May we be a people who defies this slavery that is sweeping the church, that is sweeping the world. Lastly, how do we address pornography? Saints, remember the freedom and the forgiveness of the gospel. Remember the freedom and the forgiveness of the gospel. John 8:34-36. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus Christ sets his people free. from the tyranny of sin. That could be a summary for what he came to do. He came to set his people free, to liberate the slaves. And so, saints, don't submit again to the slavery of corrupting entertainment, whether it be Netflix or whether it be flagrant porn. Do not submit to that yoke. The Lord, your Savior, he has a holy zeal for your freedom. He says, child, don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to your slavery. Your Lord has set you free, so walk in freedom. The Lord wants your freedom. But don't forget likewise, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Don't believe the lies of your heart. Don't believe the lies of the evil one. They are lies that tell you you are trapped. You will always be a slave of this sin. They are lies that tell you you are so bad that you should bear your shame alone for the rest of your days. It would be so much worse if someone else could see the evil of your heart. Don't believe the lies that tell you that you are unforgivable. The Lord your God provided a sacrifice. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross is more than abundant to set you free and to forgive you for your rebellion. Don't die in shame. Don't live your life just in the dark, in the closet, because you think no one would understand that the Lord has no help for you, that the Lord has no grace for you, that the Lord has no power for you. Those are lies. Remember just the very essence of the gospel, that the Lord can free you, that the Lord can defeat sin, that the Lord can forgive you, and child of God, even as you're wretched in your sin, that the Lord loves you. Practical tips for prevention. All of this is books and books and books you can read. And if you have a heart for that, I'd encourage you to do that. But some practical tips for prevention. Just remember that your walk with the Lord is the primary defense. Your heart condition is the primary defense. Never substitute an external for something that needs to happen at the heart level. And the Lord is mighty to work in your heart. But that said, technology can help, and I recommend it. I want you to view technology in the fight against pornography like a guardrail coming down 50 from the lake. When it comes weaving down that mountain, do you ever look off the side and just think, I'm glad there's a guardrail there, because on the other side of that is just a big cliff. I feel that every time I drive down. I'm grateful for the guardrail. But the guardrail is helpful if I want to stay on the road. And the guardrail is not enough if I want to get off the road. Look at technology like a guardrail that can help if you want help. If you don't want help, don't think technology is going to solve it. But I highly recommend things that are like content filtering controls. I wrote down one, it's called OpenDNS. It's a free service. And what you do with that is you configure your router, the central point where all the internet's flowing through in your home. You configure it with these settings. And then any device using your internet is going to inherit that filtering. Why is that helpful? It's because more and more we've got like 8 different devices that can access the internet, often with different operating systems, and to have a central point of defense helps. So OpenDNS, that site is filled with tutorials on how to configure your particular router if you would like to use that. Employ accountability software. All Christians should have accountability. That is Christian fellowship. But I would also recommend the software is very good. Accountability software like Covenant Eyes, there's other products out there. But what they do is just say, we're going to email everything you visited to a friend of your choosing. And just that little help is like light in the darkness so that you don't have to feel isolated. You don't have to feel like you're fighting your temptation alone. You're sitting there and you're saying, Jason's going to read this report. I'm just going to close the browser and go to sleep. I recommend accountability software highly. Practical tips for prevention, though, I mean, there's no replacing godly relationships. Godly relationships, true Christian accountability. And I plug one more time, do you have Christian accountability? Someone who can actually know your life, someone who can actually bring God's truth, need that, truth into your life. If you don't, today is the day. Today is the day. A lot of you have a burden for your children, and we can talk just some basic tips there. Again, family relationships are the heart of this. A parent's relationship with the child is the heart of preventing your child of getting into this, and especially of staying in a life pervaded with pornography. So what does that mean? That means that as parents, we have to try and figure out that line to walk of being gracious when our child is in sin. Like I was saying earlier, if your child thinks that coming to you with their sin is going to result in them getting, you know, metaphorically punched in the nose, it's no surprise that they never come to you. So we're working on those relationships where we can still be truthful, still be parents, but have a grace about us that doesn't preclude our children from speaking to us, especially about failures and sins. For that part, if they come to you, are you equipped with the word? Are you equipped with the gospel? Are you equipped with the truth? If they come to you and say, Mom, Dad, I was looking at the site. It was terrible. I'm really sorry. What do I do? And all you've got is stop it. That's disgusting. You've maybe made it worse. Right? As parents, we need to be those who are saturated in the gospel, in the wisdom of the word, in the grace of the word. We need to be those who can come alongside our kids and give them godly help. And that's something that I highly recommend biblical counseling books for. And just don't lose sight of the privilege and the burden that we have to evangelize our children. Right? If I'm sitting there trying to convince little Joey, pagan Joey, stop doing these things, and his heart is telling him, yes, do these things, I've got a problem, right? And so we don't lose sight of just that zeal that parents have of the heart of this is they need the Lord. And so we evangelize our children. Practical tip, keep technology in the open. Private technology, either in rooms hidden away or at times where no one can see it, that's a major vulnerability. Smartphones, tablets, those are a risk. Just know, the Christmas gift may be a total risk. And so you have to deal with that when you're buying these things. Mobility and technology helps to evade monitoring, right? If I can take the computer and move it to anywhere, the bathroom, the hallway, the bedroom, I can evade monitoring. Separate internet access, buying your kid a cell phone with a data plan. You just have to know you're opening another door that you now have to guard, right? They can evade all of the things I've just said if they've got their own internet. Commit yourself to learning about technology. That's something I know is a burden, but I just want to spur you on. Technology is not unlearnable. There's a lot of tutorials, a lot of blogs that are precisely for parents saying, how do I keep up with these kids? They're digital natives. How do I do anything to bless them? I encourage you, learn about technology. Don't write it off. You can learn about it. You can be more effective. And don't rule out old school solutions. Unplug the router when you go to sleep. Take the power cord. Take everyone's phone and put it in a drawer. Just don't get them mobile internet. Right? If technology solutions are hard, don't forget old school solutions. Saints, the summary of this is just to say that corrupting entertainment, we have to recognize it. It is destroying us. There has to be a sobriety about this topic. It is destroying American culture, but it's destroying the church as well. The fire is in the neighborhood. It is spreading all around you. But the Lord is faithful. And he can and he will deliver his people. You should have that glimmer of hope always shining, even in the darkness. And so, saints, may we rise up. rise up to treat this seriously and to put this sin to death in our lives and to set the captives free. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you cleanse those who have fallen. We thank you that you pick up those who have rebelled. We thank you that your mercy is new today. And we pray that you would give us power to kill this sin in our midst. And we pray that you would give us humility and zeal to seek out brothers and sisters who would help us. Lord, would you be gracious and set captives free? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.